He tells me stories of how he saw famine and hunger as he was growing up, and that he saw people dead because of famine, and that they would put dead bodies by the train station just to bury them, and so he would see piles of bodies as he was growing up, a lot of that because of the Japanese War, and how in the 1930s in China, he was basically constantly on the run. He was running away from bombs, and so if they were bombing the village city of Toisan or Taishan, then he would run to the provincial capital of Guangzhou. If they were bombing there, maybe he would run to Hong Kong. So he was constantly on the run. Later on in the late 40s, 50s, he came to America through Venezuela and then Canada, and eventually came to Houston in the late 1940s, early 1950s. And there he met my mom, who was a third generation Chinese American, and the Chinese Baptist Church of Houston. Downtown, probably the first Chinese church in all of Houston, had reached out to her, and as a result, she was introduced to Jesus and became a part of the church, and so that when I was a young child, back in the 1970s, I was going to the church downtown and grew up in a church culture, and where I am today, the rest is history. And I often wonder, why me? Why me? Why my dad? Why did the Lord pluck me, pluck my dad? What the 0.3% of Chinese Americans of the world, of 0.3% of all Chinese all throughout the world, only 0.3% live in America. How was it that the Lord plucked him out and plucked me out so that I could be here and come to know Jesus? And maybe you are in a similar situation. Why you? Why are you one of those 3.9 million who are in America? Of all the Chinese, all the 1.3 billion Chinese in the world, or maybe you're not from a Chinese background, but why did the Lord allow you to grow up in a culture where you could come to know Jesus? Maybe your parents came over and they became a Christian while they were studying, and as a result, you have grown up and gotten to know Jesus. Why you? Why me? We're going through Exodus, and in our study of Exodus, we started out by seeing that the Lord plucked one person, saved one person, Moses, for a special purpose. And then also, not only one person, but a whole nation he chose, he plucked, he delivered. And why? What was the purpose for that? What was their destiny? And that's the theme I've been proclaiming on Exodus, delivered for destiny. And finally, here, as we approach chapter 19 of Exodus, we're going to find some specific answers. What was the purpose? What was the reason? What was the destiny that the Lord had delivered Israel for? What is the purpose? What is the destiny that God has for you and for us? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to chapter 19 of Exodus. We're going to pick up. Last we saw that our friends, the Israelites, they have crossed over the Red Sea, 1, 2, and 3. And then they are at Marah in chapter 15 and 16. And they've been provided for water there. and they move on to Elim, and then they go into the wilderness of Sin in chapters 16. And there in 16 and 17 in the wilderness, they are receiving manna and quail and water. In chapter 18, we find out that the work is too much. And so Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, encourages him to delegate more. And that brings us all the way up to chapter 19, where we are. And so they finally come through Rephidim and defeat the Amalekites. And then as we get to chapter 19, we finally get to where the Lord said they would bring them. And that is to Mount Sinai. Next slide, please. If I have that. Let's see. Yeah, thank you. Okay. So they're at Mount Sinai. And that's where we're at chapter 19. If you'll read with me, verse 1, on the third new moon, so it's 7 to 8 weeks after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt. We're in the third month after the departure from Egypt. On that day, they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain. So they are camping out here, and they're going to camp out here for 11 months. If you'll turn to Numbers chapter 10, verse 11, you'll see that they spend 11 months here at the wilderness of Sinai, in the Mount of Sinai. Numbers 10, chapter verse 11 says, in the second year, in the second month, on the 20th day, and then verse 12, the people of Israel set out by stages from the wilderness of Sinai. So for 11 months, for almost 58 chapters of the Bible, we're camping out here in Sinai. And why? Why is this such an important time? Well, something very momentous is going to happen. We find out in verse 3, while Moses went up to God, up to the mountain, the Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel. So again, this is an epic moment. The revelation of God, the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, is about to be dispensed. And this is going to be characterized by miraculous events of a theophany, of thunder and lightning and smoke and fire. And so you better get ready, because the Lord is going to speak to us the Mosaic Law and the Ten Commandments. And so as we prepare to hear, though, this great revelation from God, as Israel seeks to discover what is their purpose, what is their destiny, first, the Lord speaks to them in verse 4 that before we talk about the present and the future, let's look at the past. And so he rehearses that for Israel in verse 4. Read that with me. You yourselves, and the Lord is speaking to him from the mountain, speaking to Moses, and he wants Moses to communicate this to the rest of the Israelites. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. So the Lord, before we look to the future, we need to look to the past, and we need to remember and thank God for his past deliverance. We need to remember and thank God for his past deliverance. And so the Israelites did this, as we talked about. They did this almost at least yearly through the celebration of the Passover. And then they once a year, they took 7 days for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And they had this festival for 7 days, just like many cultures around the world take 7 days for the Lunar New Year or more than that. So they were to take 7 days and to remember what the Lord had done for them, to remember his deliverance in the past, that they had to leave in haste. So that's why we celebrate this festival. But not only on those events and special events were they to remember how the Lord bore them on eagle's wings, how he delivered them on those special events, but as the Lord continued to give them victories over enemy kings, they were to build altars and to thank God. And they wrote songs and they wrote poems and they wrote psalms to remember and rehearse what the Lord had done for them in the past. In fact, in chapter 15, verse 1, chapter 15 is a song of the deliverance of Israel. Chapter 15, verse 1 goes, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. And they would sing these songs, and Psalm 135 and Psalm 136 are psalms, are poems, music that the Israelites were to rehearse, to remember the Lord's deliverance for them in the past. Because as they remembered what the Lord had done for them in the past, they are motivated to become what he wants them to be for the future. And so, we too, today, we also remember the Lord's deliverance. Thank God for his past deliverance. We want to thank God for his past deliverance. And we do that primarily, as we learned several weeks ago, through celebrating the Lord's Supper. We do that monthly. Many churches do it weekly. But we also can, all throughout the week, all throughout the day, thank God. In fact, we can thank God, as I mentioned, first thing in the morning. Thank you, God, for delivering me from the penalty of sin. Thank you, God, for delivering me from the power of sin. And because his praise can sometimes be on our lips, sometimes be on our lips. Is that how the song goes? No. Your praise will ever, right? Ever be on my lips. Ever be. So it doesn't have to be just at the Lord's Supper, but it can be when you wake up in the morning, and all throughout the day you can say, thank God, thank you that I have eternal life, that you've delivered me from sin. In fact, let's say that right now. Just thank God right where you are. Just say, thank you, God, for delivering me from the penalty of sin. Go ahead, say that right now. Right. Praise the Lord. And as the Lord continues to give you victory over enemies, thank him. Thank him as he blesses. When he heals you from that sickness, thank him. When he gives your child that job, thank him. When he brings reconciliation to a relationship, thank him. Thank him for conquering those external enemies. But thank him also when he helps you conquer those internal enemies. Lord, thank you that I am more dependent upon you this week. Lord, thank you that you help me not to compare my children to other people's children. So thank God for his deliverance in the past. And as we thank God for his deliverance in the past, we're motivated to become what he wants us to be today and for the future. And so what is that? What is it that God wants us to be? Let's find that out in verse 5 and 6 of Exodus 19. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. What is it that God wants us to be? What did he want Israel to be? He wanted them to be wholly different. He wanted them to be wholly different. And how? How were they to be? Or what is it about it that they were to be wholly different? Looking first in verse 5, it's a conditional statement here that if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. So how they can be fulfilling their destiny is through keeping the covenant. Through keeping the covenant. Now, for the Israelites, this involved the next three chapters here in Exodus. We're going to get the Ten Commandments in chapter 20, and then all the way through chapter 23, we're going to get other laws primarily related to the Sabbath, to the singular worship of God, and for treating your neighbor with kindness and justice. And that was the covenant that the Israelites were to keep. We can even extend the covenant all the way into Leviticus, where we talk about the ceremonial laws and the sacrifices. So this is what the Israelites were to keep. But for us today, who are after Christ, we keep a new covenant, because Jesus said in Luke 22:20 that this cup represents the new covenant in my blood. And so after the crucifixion, what we now keep is what is found in the New Testament, or the new covenant. And 2 Corinthians 3 talks about how we have a new ministry of the Holy Spirit that is superior to the ministry of the letter of the law. And so we are to keep the New Testament. We can learn from the Old Testament and learn about God and learn His ways. And in fact, 9 of the 10 commandments are repeated in the New Testament. And so we adhere to those. But we are wholly different as we keep the New Covenant and the New Testament. Now, let me just point out, because in fact one person asked in Focus the other night, how did the Old Testament saints get saved? Let me just point out that the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints, nobody is saved through keeping the law, keeping the covenant, so to speak. But rather, we keep the covenant because we have been saved. It's a result of having been saved by grace, through faith, right? It's not through keeping any of the good works. And just as a quick way to think of this, for our Focus member who asked this question, just that the basis of salvation in every age is the death of Christ, whether it's Old Testament, New Testament. The requirement of salvation is faith. The object of faith is God in every age. And the content of faith changes in the various dispensations or ages. The people in the Old Testament, they looked forward and had faith that God would provide a provision for their sin. We, after Christ, look back to Jesus as the provision for our sin. Okay? So that's a little answer to roast the preacher from the other night. But we keep the covenant. And now you say, Pastor Wei, I can't do that. It's too hard to keep this New Testament, all these laws and more, even though I have the Holy, you know, it's too hard. I can't do it. I mean, I can't even keep my marriage together. And there's fighting in my home. And if you knew the struggles I go through, Pastor Wei, I can't do it. I can't keep this law. And you're right. You can't. And that's why my exhortation is that we be wholly different. We keep the covenant by relying on the Holy Spirit. And so, as it talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that we are adequate because of the Holy Spirit. And so, when we face our struggles and we face our temptations, just like we learned the other week, that we used to be slaves to sin, and we were in bondage to comparison or lust or materialism or pride. But because of Jesus' death and resurrection, He broke the bondage of sin. And we need to keep claiming that by relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. And so this week, as you take your final exams and everyone else around you is cheating, you say, no, praise the Lord, I'm free from the bondage to cheat. But I can't do it on my own. God, give me the power of the Holy Spirit to be pure during my exams. And when you're tempted to compare your children to other people's children on Facebook and all the accomplishments that they have succeeded in, you say, I'm free from that because of Jesus' death and resurrection and God, but I can't do it. I so much want to compare. But give me the power through your Holy Spirit. And so what is the destiny for you? What is the purpose for you? It is to be wholly different because you are saved, because of God's grace, to be wholly different by keeping the covenant in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we find out more. Now, why? Why do we want to keep the covenant? And reviewing verses 5 and 6 of chapter 19, it says, now, if you do these things, these promises will come to you. And he tells us three things. First, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. So the first promise and the purpose is that they will be a treasured possession. They will, if you will, have a favored nation status. They will be God's special people out of all the peoples of the earth. And we see that was conditional, though, because Israel lost that special status through their disobedience when they were exiled in the Babylonian exile. But if they were to keep the covenant, they would have that special status. Secondly, we see, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests. Now, what is a priest? A priest is a mediator between men and God. And so Israel was to be a kingdom, a nation of priests or mediators, mediating God's blessing to all the peoples of the earth. See, Israel was never to just hog and keep all the blessings to themselves and be the chosen frozen, right? No, they were to extend the blessing because all the earth is the Lord, and they were to be a kingdom of priests. And lastly, if they kept the covenant, they would be a holy nation, a nation that was different, that was wholly different. Because you see, they were entering into a land where people sacrificed their children to appease the gods. And they would have prostitution in their religion to try to have the gods bless them. And so Israel needed to be holy and different. And other nations were to see this and be attracted to the one true God. Now, how can we be wholly different to bring others to Jesus? Well, there's many ways, but as we live our lives, then we draw others around us to the Savior, to Jesus. But we're to be wholly different, and this is to fulfill our destiny to share God's blessings with all peoples as His holy chosen people. And we see this theme primarily in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession. Again, the treasured possession of God, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. And you can read the rest of that. And so, we show that we're wholly different in many ways. We can show that we're wholly different by our humility, that we actually depend upon God, just like Dr. Fong taught us last week that the Israelites had to depend on God for food, for manna. It's like shanma. That's what it means in Hebrew. It's manna. What is it? We can translate it shanma. They had to get shanma every day. Sorry, guys, that means como in Spanish, right? Or what? Right? What is it? Okay, what is it? They had to depend on God every day for what is it? Okay, this bread from heaven. And so we exhibit that dependence. We're different. We believe that we need to depend on God. And so we don't believe in luck, right? Right? You guys, you as a Christian, right? Didn't you learn that? You're not supposed to say good luck, right? What do you say? Good grace, right? Or good blessing. And I have to confess, sometimes I'm afraid to demonstrate that, yes, that I believe in grace and God and depending on Him. In fact, this last week, the teacher said, oh, yes, I've been so lucky that I've had your son in my class these 2 years. I've been so lucky. And I was trying to be nice and kind. And I said, yeah. And I messed up. I said, no, we're the lucky ones. I actually said luck. I felt like I denied Jesus right there, I felt so bad. But we don't do that, right? Praise the Lord. He gave me another opportunity to demonstrate humility this last week when we had another teacher conference. And I asked the teacher at the end of our conference, well, how can we pray for you? Okay, so we can do that. We can show we're different. We're wholly different because we depend upon God. So ask your boss, how can I pray for you? Praise the Lord. This teacher said, well, I pray this. I think she prays too. Maybe down the road we can talk more. But you can ask your teacher, how can I pray for you? You can ask your classmate, how can I pray for you? You can ask your coworker, how can I pray for you? And this is a wholly different way to show who we are. Another way that we can show is through our love for one another. Our love for one another, that we extend kindness. We're not like the others. We're not like the world who is looking out only for ourselves. But we actually like to help people. And we may even help people move into their new apartment. And as we do this, hopefully people like Arabelle and Foon and Randall really feel the love. But not only them, but the neighbors and the apartment in their apartment may say, what is it these dudes coming out and helping move? What is that? I want some of that. I see the love. And as we show love and kindness to one another, we can attract others. And I'm sure Brother Randall and Sister Foon are going to have many opportunities to show how we are wholly different. And you are too, wherever you are, at your work or your school. And one last way we can show is just by that we worship one true God, and that we believe that there is one true God, and that sometimes truth is exclusive. And we don't have to be, as the Israelites wanted to worship one God alone and not multiple gods, so we too can proclaim that Jesus is the name that no other name under heaven can be saved. Because sometimes truth is narrow, right? Sam, what's 2 + 2? Well, I think it's 5. What do you got to say about that? Well, you intolerant? You're a bigot. I say it's 5. Well, you see, sometimes truth is narrow, okay? And we have the opportunity to present the truth to others. So, friends, today we have seen what is it? What is our destiny? As we seek to fulfill our purpose and our destiny in life, let us look to the past and thank God for His past deliverances. And as we look to today and the future, let us be wholly different by keeping the covenant by the power of the Holy Spirit so that we might share His blessings with all peoples as His chosen holy people. There was a young woman more than 25 years ago who was entering college, and she entered college coming from a background where she only had value based on her grades, her performance in orchestra, the kind of school she got into, and the kind of job that she had. But when she got to UT Austin, she saw a group of people who called themselves believers and followers of Jesus. And she saw something different in them. They didn't always talk about how to get that guy's attention. They didn't always talk about what kind of clothes they were wearing. They didn't always talk about how to get that next title or that next achievement. They seemed to have a steadiness in life, a joy that was rooted not in their circumstances or what kind of grade they got, but in something deeper. And they also cared for one another. And so on that Christmas day of her freshman year, when this one Christian called her on the phone and explained the gospel to her and said, "Would you like to believe in Jesus?" Right there on the phone, she thought, "Yes, I do, because I've seen Christians and I want what they have." Friends, what is your destiny? What is our purpose? What is our destiny? Let us thank God for His deliverance in the past. And let us be wholly different by keeping the covenant and the power of the Spirit and sharing His blessings with all peoples as His holy chosen people. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for saving and delivering me. Thank you for saving and delivering us, Lord, not so that we could just sit back and just enjoy the blessings to ourselves, so to speak, but so that we could be wholly different to mediate your blessings to all the peoples of the earth. Lord, give us your strength this week to thank you for your blessings and to rely upon you and to show others that because of you, that there's something wholly different about us by your grace and by your power. In Jesus' name.
Let's all stand together as we sing the song of response. We are, in fact, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So as Pastor Wei spoke today, I wonder how God has challenged you today as far as how you can be different, how you can be more set apart for Him. We're going to sing a song called "This Is My Desire." I give you my heart. Take this time, take this opportunity to respond to God. He may be calling you to be different, to speak different, to act different in a specific way. Take this opportunity to respond to Him.
This is my desire to that I take. moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way.
This is my desire.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, worship you.
You to have your way with each of us, for we are your priests. We are holy. We are different. We are set apart for you. Father, help us, God, to remember that truth as we depart from here. We thank you, Lord, for the reminder, God, that this life is not our own. It doesn't just belong to us, Lord. You gave us breath. You gave us life. Lord, your Son Jesus was sacrificed on the cross for each of us, that we could have new life, this new life. So, Father, help us to be challenged as we go forth from here. Help us, God, to be dependent, to be reliant on your Holy Spirit as we go about our days, to head back to our schools and our work and our families. Lord, help us, God, to remember our position in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May we be seated.
This morning, and I'll go ahead and call Lizette up right now to come make an announcement. We have the privilege to hear from Lizette Bowler, who is part of the Women's Pregnancy Center. And as you know, we've been promoting the baby bottle bonanza. So she's going to share with us a little more on the Women's Pregnancy Center and the baby bottle bonanza. So,
good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me here today. I want to thank all those that have been supporting the Women's Pregnancy Center that come to this church for years, and so we really appreciate that. Before I get to the baby bottles, I would really like to tell you a little bit about the Women's Pregnancy Center and what we do there. We mostly minister to young women and young men who find themselves in a crisis pregnancy situation. And what that means is that they'll come to our center finding themselves pregnant and not knowing what to do. They're very scared, confused, and most of the time hopeless. So what we do there is, in order to bring them in, we offer free pregnancy tests. We offer free STD testing. We also have free ultrasounds. We have free educational program for parenting to teach them how to be good parents. And we also have free counseling. Now, our number one goal is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We just use these tools to bring them in. And, of course, we do not believe that anybody is there by accident, but that each client comes in because of a divine appointment, and they really need to hear about Christ. And so I would like to share with you a little story of my client that I had very recently, just to give you an idea of how the Holy Spirit works there. I had this young girl come in, young woman, I should say. She came in with her mom, and she found herself pregnant. She didn't know what she was going to do. She was not a Christian. Her mom was there to support her in anything that she chose to do, whether to keep the baby or to have an abortion. She definitely wanted to have an abortion. That was in the direction that she was going toward. And so after spending some time with her, I shared the gospel with her to let her know that she does have hope and she can bring up this baby with God's help, and that God has a future for her and this life within her. After that, I talked to her a lot about abstinence and what that looks like. Many of these young girls come in and they've never even heard the word abstinence and really don't think that they can live that kind of lifestyle. But to really counsel her to learn that she can make wise decisions for her life, and that way her life would take a different direction. And so after that, she was very open to the gospel. She was very open to possibly giving her life to Christ, which we were very excited about. And she was also open to have an ultrasound. So we then took her in to get her free ultrasound. And after she saw that what she was carrying was actually a life, it wasn't just a blob, and she was able to hear the heartbeat. At that moment, when they could hear the heartbeat, her mom got very emotional and just started crying and just realized, she told me later, that that was her grandchild and that she was willing to give up her grandchild. And the young lady got very emotional too. And in the end, after all was said and done, she did end up giving her life to Christ. And as she was leaving, she said, "Lizette, I had come in today planning an abortion, and I am leaving today planning a baby shower." So in many, many cases, that happens. And we just give God all the glory for that. And so that's what we're there for. We're there to minister and to help couples choose life. So about the baby bottles, this is one of our big fundraisers of the year. And it's very easy and simple. All you have to do is pick up a baby bottle from our table right outside. And you can see Deborah there. I will be there also to answer any questions you may have. And what you do is you take a baby bottle and you just put it on your kitchen counter or anywhere where you will see it every day. And you just put your change in there. And it's usually from Mother's Day to Father's Day. So I understand it's been going on for a little while now. And on Father's Day, you bring back your baby bottle and we'll accept bills and checks also. And you can bring that in. And what we do is we collect all those bottles from different churches in the area that are supporting us, just like you. And we use those to buy Bibles. We have resource bags to give the moms so they can learn more about Medicaid and WIC and all that the community can offer them. We also have to pay for our ultrasound equipment, and we also use it to supply them with diapers and clothes and material goods that they'll need for their children so they have something that they can actually dress their child in when they get out of the hospital. Most of these families are very low-income families, so this is what we do. And if you're interested, please pick up a bottle. We would really appreciate your support in every way. And also, we are open for volunteers. We desperately need volunteers. We have a lot of clients coming in, and we have an excellent Christian training that you would go through. If you're interested, you can see me. Thank you again for having me this afternoon, and you all have a blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you, Lizette, for that and for the introduction to Pregnancy Center. So you can look at your bulletin because most of the announcements are there. And to note, there is a date change for the summer youth teachers meeting. It's going to be on the 2nd of June. That's Friday from 10 to noon. Also, the senior banquet will be on Saturday, June 3rd. So get your tickets if you're interested or if you have a graduating senior. Most of us have heard about Josh Ma. We have been praying for him before, and he passed away a month or so ago now. And his memorial service is going to be at Jireh Bible Church, which is in Houston. The address is on our bulletin, and that would be also next Saturday. So if you are planning to go and want to help out his family in lieu of flowers, you can give to the Josh Ma Memorial Fund to help his wife, his widow, and his children. And then the graduating fifth graders will be joining us soon. So next Sunday, meet Pastor Wei at 001 at 10:45 for, and this is also for the parents. And then there will be a membership meeting next Sunday as well, and that is to confirm the council member. So if you are a member, you can either confirm or not confirm. That's a vote next Sunday. And then lastly, the Caring Ministry is hosting a family workshop for new immigrants, and it will be Saturday the 17th from 1 to 3:30 at church. And there will be more information to come if you're interested.
Okay. So, all right. So we praise the Lord that you're able to worship with us today. And we do have one first-time visitor, and that's Arabelle Engelman. And we do welcome her, and I think her parents are along with her as well. And others who are visiting with us for the first time, we welcome you today. If you are visiting for the first time, please pick up a connection card so that we can have some information to contact you in the future. Shall we all rise for the benediction? Okay. You may receive the benediction with eyes open. You are a chosen race, a royal people, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. Amen. Go out and be the holy, chosen people of God to a dying world this week.